Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know. I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing, too.
New Dr. Pepper Strawberries and Cream. The new flavor you deserve.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 23rd day of July 2023. And I'm Pastor Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, well, the title of my message tonight is AI versus AUI. Now, we have news today, a lot of talk, a lot of conversations about, artificial intelligence. And as they're seeing they fear the dangers. Can artificial intelligence take over? Will artificial intelligence wipe out all humanity? All of this is going on. But being totally ignored, is a much, 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 much greater force than AI. And folks, that is AUI. What is AUI? It's absolute ultimate intelligence. The absolute ultimate intelligence. And the absolute ultimate intelligence has been in existence, well, from, if there was a beginning, before the beginning. And it's pre-existent. It existed before time itself. And what are we talking about? Well, obviously, the absolute ultimate intelligence is God. And here, he does not see AI as a threat by any means. And the world out there, I hate to say it, but it's just a fact. We're living in a world of fools, of absolute fools. And I take a look at the mainstream media. Folks dress professionally, they go on. You'll watch the evening news, and you got these people that are talking about what's happening. Yet they're la la landers. I mean, real la la landers. They're clueless of the reality of things to come. And so here we're going to start tonight, because we're going to take a look at how God can deal with artificial intelligence. And so as we start, we're going to start tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 2, in fact, verses 1 through 11. And here we're going to be reading about that lady Hannah. Now, Hannah was an extremely remarkable woman. She was a real lady, you might say. She had an extreme love of God, and that was a result of the knowledge that God had gave her himself. At this time, again, there was, at the time of this writing here, we're going to see something, it's a very interesting thing. There was no record of a dead person ever being resurrected. But Hannah, along with Abraham and Job, even though there was no record, nothing had never happened, we'll see what they have to say, because God had showed them something. And what God had showed them and what they've known for aeons, the vast majority of the world out here, folks, is clueless. I mean, they're clueless. And so let's go. And Hannah prayed and said, "Well, my heart rejoices in the Lord, and mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by his actions, by him actions are weighed." So what is she saying? Hannah was understanding something here, and what she understood was that by, again, by the knowledge that God had given her of himself, that he would not, that he would not in any way, shape, or form tolerate forever the foolish arrogancy of men that refused to humble themselves before him. See, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Now, when we talk about knowledge, you're talking about AI, artificial knowledge, folks. All knowledge is contained in God. And in fact, the Bible tells you that the secret things of God, God has knowledge that God and God alone, that AI could never, ever attain. But that knowledge is kept within the mind of God alone. Now, here, when she's referring to here, that no more exceedingly proud, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. Men like Klaus Schwab, like that. I got to say, this fella here is an absolute fool. I have to say it. I don't mean to be mean or nasty, but I'm talking about that Yuval Harari. He's the fella that is the number two guy. He's the Israeli that is with Klaus Schwab. And he has made statements that don't think, the statement is, there is no Jesus out there above the clouds that's going to come back and bring salvation to the earth. It's not there. The only God is man. This is what this fool has said. And that there, again, qualifies him, according to God's word, as being a fool, okay? But this fella, okay, in his arrogancy, is going to be in for an extremely rude awakening. Him, Klaus Schwab, George Soros, Bill Gates, and, you know, actually now, Joe Biden has come out, and he has made a statement that he is AI. Maybe that AR stands for another idiot. I don't know. But here, I got to tell you, he also came and he said, and I don't mean Abraham Lincoln. Well, folks, Lincoln does not start with the letter I. So Joe was off his game again, unfortunately. And Joe, like it says right here, God is not going to tolerate this arrogancy. He's not going to tolerate it forever. And people like Klaus Schwab, people like Joe and Bill Gates and others, they need to repent. Now, the Lord Jesus made it clear the first time he preached, and before him, all the way back to the days of Noah, 120 years, and John the Baptist, repent or perish, repent or perish, repent or perish. And we've been talking about that here for 50 years. Now, folks, here he goes on to say, She goes on to say, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They were full of, and if they that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and that she hath many children and waxed feeble. She's talking about the result, God's judgment on those people that refuse to repent and refuse to humble themselves before the Lord. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Now here, this is an extremely important verse right here, because again, like I say, up to this time, there was no mention of resurrection in the Bible, but Hannah here understands that. And, well, no, let me rephrase that. There was no account that anyone had ever died and been resurrected. Up to this point, that had not happened. So if we go, in fact, to Genesis 22, verse 5, Abraham also understood this. And he says in verse 5, And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Now Abraham understood something. God had promised him that through Isaac he would raise up many seeds. So he knew that if he did slay, if he sacrificed Isaac, then God would have to resurrect him, because he had his promise. And then also Job understood. In fact, Job had made the statement when he said, well, let me remember what that was. It was in Job, I think, verse 19, verse 25. He says, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the later day upon the earth. And though after my skin and worms destroyed his body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And so here now, again, although there had never been, up to now, anyone who had died and been resurrected, God had given these people the knowledge of the coming rapture of the church and resurrection. And so here, when we take a look at this, and we're talking about AI, well, let me read on here. He says, He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifted up the beggar and from the dunghill, to set them in princes, and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. Did you know, here's another interesting thing here. The pillars of the earth is a unique term. In fact, it's used no place else, nowhere else in Scripture. And what he's referring to is the firm summits and surfaces of the geological structure strong enough to maintain stability of the earth's surface. And that's what he's referring to here. And so again, God had revealed all of this stuff to Hannah. And so when we talk about artificial intelligence, there is nothing intrinsically wrong or evil with artificial intelligence. It's like fire. You know, fire can be used for good or it can be used for evil. It's money. Money can be used good or evil. Guns can be used for good and for evil. And so, not woke. Woke can only be used for evil. But anyhow, as we look here, at the natural man, apart from God, does not seek God. That's right. And this is as we go on here, we said, And the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, out of heaven shall he thunder upon them, and the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto the king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Now, here, again, I want to go to what we're going to be looking at next, because the natural man, again, the natural man does not seek after God. We're going to jump over here, and over the years, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people tell me how they found the Lord, and I kind of just shake my head, because no one ever found the Lord, because the Lord was never lost, folks. That's right. God had chosen us. We didn't choose him. How do we know that? Well, it's right here in his word. If we go over to Romans chapter 3, and we start in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. So, folks, you're either a Jew or you're a Gentile, but guess what? Only sinners can be saved. And they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No, the righteousness that we receive is through our union with Christ. Apart from Christ, there's nobody that's righteous apart from Christ. Nobody. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Again, that is prior to one's receiving salvation. You see, it's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He gets your attention. He turns you towards the Lord. And it's by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we turn towards God. And when that happens, then we become converted. But we don't do it on our own. It's God that initiates. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison apse is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know what things soever the law saith, it said unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified, and in his sight, for by the law, is the knowledge of sin. But that's what the Apostle Paul said. Had not have been for the law, he would not have known sin. And so here again, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, always convicting men of their sins. And here, when it says in verse 10, as it is written, well, we see that throughout the Bible, this is repeated in Psalms 14, 1 through 3, and Psalms 53, 1 through 3. And then again, as we see in verse 11, there is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh God. And that's what we've been talking about here. Again, no one ever found God. God finds us. And we really need to try to understand that. Before the foundations of the earth, God chose us. How did he do that? Well, before we existed in flesh and bone, we existed in the mind of God. And in that, God knew, being omniscient, knowing the future, which way we would go, which road we would choose, whether we would choose to serve him or we would choose to serve ourselves. And so here, he knew our hearts before there was any hearts of flesh. And so there here, when he goes on, going all the way back. See, men's hearts were continually evil, going all the way back to the time of when Cain first slew Abel. And what happens when the last verse, when he talks about, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. Again, the law, and the fact that the law was perfect, and that we were so not perfect, that the only thing the law could do for us would be to condemn us. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to fulfill the law. He fulfilled, which was God's demand. And now here, you've noticed something that's been taking place. Recently, all of the big tech companies have come together to agree upon setting precautionary security devices that would protect us against AI going rogue and turning on mankind. Well, folks, why are they saying all that? You know, it's an interesting thing because we've seen with the Antichrist system, with communism, they have a saying out there, and it goes like, people, well, will show much, much, much less resistance to having their freedoms taken away if they're told over and over that it's planned. This has been planned. And so this is what they've done, and so many times they repeat what they're going to do, and they've been doing this step by step. Instead of just laying it on you all at one time where people would might react violently, no. They keep repeating it and telling you over and over until you become indoctrinated. And so they keep warning you and telling you and telling you and telling you that AI could turn on the people. Now, wait a minute. Who are these people that are telling us this, okay? What kind of people are the programmers for these computers? Who is their God? Well, we know that there's very sinister components in this. We know Bill Gates is one of them. And all of these people that are involved in this, and this are all a part of the global depopulation cabal. Now, what is that telling you? They're all a part of the global depopulation cabal. And so here we're living in real time right now with the deadly effects, for example, of the NRMN, the COVID shot that they referred to as a vaccine. It is not a vaccine. And I want to remind all of you folks again that this is what we've been trying to tell you. 3 weeks before the very first person had taken a shot, 3 weeks before anybody had taken a shot, we were on the radio here telling you that this was not a vaccine. It is not a vaccine, folks. But they're going to roll out to you, even though President Trump was promoting this. Now, to his credit, you say, why in the world should he know better? Yeah, well, here's what he did know. He knew that it was going to come out. He was surrounded by the deep state. He knew that the media, all the mainstream media, was going to say this COVID, and that they were pushing, and Trump is standing in the way, okay, of getting a cure, and they were going to blame all this on Trump. But Trump knew something. He knew this. He knew that if it was an experimental vaccine, under the Constitution, the government could not force it upon the people. Under the Constitution, if it was experimental, they could not. They could not force it upon the people. Trump knew that. And that's why he brought it out quickly so that we could reject it. Well, those of us with intelligence did reject it. Folks, we understood. Those out there, we warned and we warned and we warned. Please don't take that shot. And I've known so many people that took it, friends of mine that had taken that shot before they understood, before they got our newsletter, and they died. And now, And we're still telling, and right now, people are dying. They're still dying in large numbers. In fact, I believe, the last I read, I believe the stats are that as many as eight times as many people have died from the poisonous poke that have died from COVID. Now, what is going on? Within that, they had these nanoparts within this shot, these nanoparticles. And these nanoparticles are particles that can be programmed with 5G. And this is AI. This is AI. And so the people that refuse to take the shot, they're looking at other ways of getting it into you through your food and other ways. Now, let me just repeat this again. God is on the throne. God is in complete control. And he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Okay? Now, again, there is a very, very sinister supernatural force behind this. And that very, very sinister supernatural force is none other than, well, you know who it would be. You heard the saying, the devil made me do it. Well, folks, that's exactly who is behind this. In fact, let's go over to Isaiah. And this is the God. Remember what Nietzsche said. Nietzsche was considered to be such a great mind. Nietzsche made the statement that God had created man in his image, but now through technology, now through science, man is going to return the favor, and God will be what man says he is. And this is what these fools that are saying, like Harari, that Yuval Harari, that man is God. And that soon, artificial intelligence will take over, and it will make men supermen, super gods. Again, this man is a fool. God is on the throne. God is in complete control. Now, I want you to try to understand, too, what happened? What was the reason that God destroyed the earth in Genesis 6 with a flood? What was behind it? What was the thing? Well, God had given man dominion over the environment. He had kept dominion of man for himself. And what happened? They transgressed God's dominion. These fallen angels who had taken women, human women, as wives, changed the DNA. They changed the DNA. Do you understand what we're saying here? Remember, God is immutable. He's the same today, tomorrow, forever. He doesn't change. Therefore, he does things the very same way. He gets them right every time. And so, here, if we go over and we take a look at who's the sinister force behind this, like Nietzsche and Harari said that man will be God, this individual had a throne, actually in the throne room of God himself. And what happened? Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, and we start in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Well, the word Lucifer actually means the shining one, the shining one. And here he goes on to say, and again, remember, today, and it's growing. It's growing in popularity. I was just heard today that, and I believe it was in Venezuela, if I remember, they had some of the programming by this TikTok or whatever, that at the bottom of the screen, there's the letter has come across that says, do not believe in Jesus. Do not believe in Jesus. This is happening, and I think you're going to see a lot more of this as we get deeper into the apostasy and closer to the Lord's return. And so he says this, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, here, Satan had decided that he is going to exalt his throne, is going to raise it up above God's throne, and he is going to, again, exalt his throne above the stars of God, God's angels. The stars are the angels. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. That's the third heaven. That's God's throne room, where God reigns. Now, he says this, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Something hit me when I read this for the very first time, when Obama, after Obama had come upon the scene, and Obama had just got elected, and we knew by researching him beforehand, before he won the election, that he was extremely, extremely corrupt. I mean, very satanic. And, well, there was a lot of things about Obama that were satanic. And we understood that. And so, in fact, he was voted as the most pro-death, the most pro-death senator in the history of the United States. And the reason for that was that they had passed legislation in the Senate where the Senate voted 99 to 1, that babies that survived abortion, they wouldn't do that today because their wickedness has increased. Their wickedness has increased substantially. But that babies that survived the attempt of their lives to kill the innocent babies called abortion, that those babies that survived that attempt upon their life should be given every bit of medical care and treatment to try to revive them. But Obama, this man of great, great sin, this man of great, great sin, and he said, no, that thing was never meant to live. That thing should be put on a shelf and left to die. And this is wickedness. He was a wicked, wicked man. Now, I always thought that when you looked at the candidates in my mind for Antichrist, Obama was the top. He would be, if I had to say, now I'm not saying he is the Antichrist, but I'm saying, according to all the attributes in the Bible that refer to the Antichrist, Obama, as far as what we know of people today, would be the one who would be at the top of the list for a number of reasons. One is that if we take a look at here on when he was the day when he won the election, on the day that he won, he was the winning lottery number there in Illinois, and his state was 666. His zip code where his office was, was 60606. The car that he had made special for him, the car that he had built was called the Beast. The Antichrist rides with the Beast. But here, going back to Isaiah 14, verse 14, I will ascend above the heights. Now, in the Hebrew, that word there, heights, is Obama. But it's spelled U-G-B-A-M-A, but it's pronounced Obama. And here it means, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Now, the primary definition of that word is the elevated one, the elevated one. So the elevated one actually refers to God himself, to God himself, because God is the. Throughout Scripture, you see where things were, when the word the is used, it sets apart certain. For example, the Lord Jesus, well, for example, if you're a born-again believer, you're sons of God. But you're not the Son of God. You're not the Son. The Lord Jesus himself is the only begotten Son of God. By the definition of an apostle, I'm an apostle here, but I'm not one of the apostles. To be one of the apostles, you would have had to have been personally tutored by the Lord himself. When you take a look at angels, you talk about an angel of the Lord refers to many angels, but when it's referring to the angel of the Lord, it's referring to a Christophany, which refers to the Lord Jesus himself. And so here now in this, situation where it talks about that word heights, elevated one, the elevated one is God. But now here Satan, Lucifer, is saying he himself is going to be that elevated one. He says, I will ascend above the heights. I will be the elevated one of the clouds. The clouds is referring to the saints. He's referring, he will ascend above the saints themselves. He will be their ruler, okay? And I will be like the Most High. And so, in other words, he's saying that he is going to be like God himself, his creator. Well, God was listening to that, and he had a disagreement there, because God says this, I will, are you, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this man, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms and made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the house of his prisoners? And all the kings of the nations, or even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of the grave like an abominable branch, and the remains of those that are slain thrust through with a sword. They go down to the stones of the pit, his carcass is trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people, and the seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. So he's telling him, unlike the kings of the earth, even the wicked kings that have been buried, and people will come and visit their grave site, and they will come and they'll honor their memories by visiting. He's saying, you will have no such honor. You will be, no. There's not going to be any place where people come down on you. You're going to be cast down the lake of fire. And with all of these people out there today, the Church of Satan here in America, the World International Council Church, United Church of the Antichrist, they're all going to be with him, with Satan, in that lake of fire. Because literally what they've done is they've changed. They've gone from professing Christianity, many of them, to Satanism. They're embracing Satan's doctrine, not God's. United Church of, what they call United Church of Christ, the headquarters right here in Cleveland, if it's a sin, they'll embrace it, whether it's sodomy, whether it's abortion, pedophilia, you name it, bestiality. If it's a sin, they'll embrace it. And so they've literally changed their doctrine, their oracles of Satan. Now here, as we go through this, we take a look at that, and we see that, that word there for the elevated ones is Obama. But then we see something else which is very interesting, and that is, if we go over to Ezekiel chapter 20. In Ezekiel chapter 20, Now, verses 29 through 32. If you take the word Obama, and you remove the UG and just have the words Bama, that means the elevated place, the elevated, the high place. Now, the primary definition of the high place would be heaven itself. But here we see in Ezekiel 20, verse 29, "Then I said unto them, What is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Are you polluting after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abominations, for whom ye offer your gifts when you make your sons to pass through the fire? You pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto the day. And it shall be inquired by you, O house of Israel, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired by you. In other words, don't even bother to pray to me now. Don't even do it. Don't seek me now. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that you say, We will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries who serve wood and stone. So here now, the Bama, as the secondary definition, is of a high place, not the high place. So the primary, the high place, Bama, is heaven, but here it's referring to as a high place, and this is where they sacrifice the children. Now, it's an interesting thing because it was a long time after that this town, it's referring to a town here called Bama. It was a long time after the town had ceased sacrificing children that they were still known for that. The name still had stuck to them, okay? And they were known for sacrificing children. Now, I want to go, it's an interesting thing too, because now I want to go over to Luke chapter 10. And why am I doing all this? Well, going back to this AI thing here, here, Obama was one of those that was involved in promoting this way back when. Now, if we go over to Luke chapter 10, and I just want to say one more time about how, if I were to say, okay, who is the best candidate according to the attributes of the Bible, all the attributes and characteristics in Scripture, and by the way, in Daniel 11, it refers to the Antichrist as being a sodomite, a homosexual. Of course, we know Obama is a homosexual. And here, if we go to Luke 10 and start with verse 17, "And the 70 return again with the Lord, saying, Even though the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them," now listen to this. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. "I beheld Satan, as lightning." There, now, and the Greek and Aramaic, that word lightning there, is barak. It is barak. One spelling is B-A-R-A-K, and then there's another saying, spelling, B-A, well, you know what, I forgot. I had it written down, because when I read this for the first time, I said, wait a minute, look at this. Here, that word lightning there, that is barak. But wait a minute. "I beheld Satan as lightning," barak, "fall from," whoa, what do we have here? "Heaven." What is the name for the high place? The high place is Bama. So in one sentence, I have the word barak Bama in one sentence here in Luke 10:18. No. Is that just a coincidence? Okay, so Obama installed anti-American communists. What did he do? Obama, he was the one he purged. 11 four-star generals and about 260 flag officers from our military. You understand? He purged these people. These were the people that put God in the country, Constitution first. He purged them. He replaced them with people like Austin and Milley. These are not pro-American people by any means. He went in, and we told you this for the entire 8 years where Obama was in office. We told you on a daily basis, do you see what he's doing now? He put insurgents, anti-American people in the Department of Justice, in the FBI, in the Pentagon, in the CIA, in the NSA, as the Attorney General. Look at who his Attorney General was. A very hardcore anti-American, anti-Christian Muslim. He placed insurgents in the CDC, in the Health and Human Services, in the Department of Education, flaming NAMBLA Man Boy Love Association, in the Department of Homeland Security, in the IRS. All of the anti-God, anti-American, pro-sodomites, all of these were anti-God, anti-American, and pro-sodomy, pro-sin. And so this Obama was a great, great man of sin. And here, again, he referred to as the Dark Prince. And so here, when we take a look at what we just, well, let's go over here because I'd like to take a look at Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, we read this. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, what is a two-edged sword referred to here? He's talking about God's word, both written word and spoken word. He's referring to the word of God is sharper, both the written and the spoken word, than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, what is that referring to? Well, people often get that confused. More and more I get asked, well, the soul is who you are. It's your personality. That's the individual person that you are. Your spirit now is a life force that's either energized by the Holy Spirit. If you're saved and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then your life force would be energized by Him. But if you're not saved, then your life force can be energized by the other one, the Antichrist. So here now, or I should say that Satan. But he goes on to say here, and dividing us under the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, as a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So what's he saying? Well, only the word of God itself can discern where your soul leaves off and your spirit begins, or vice versa, folks. Only God's word can do that. Now here, we see that AI, well, you know, God's, well, let me go on. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now, God's word cannot be broken. God's word cannot be broken. AI has no such weapon or defense of such. God can silence AI at any time. AI depends on outside sources for its existence. It depends upon these sinister outside forces for its existence, and even other computers. God is self-existing. God is self-existing. God's power is unlimited. It's unlimited. Where AI is limited to the boundaries that God has set for it. It can only do what God allows. And remember, AUI is God. God is absolute ultimate, the ultimate intelligence. Here now, you have to take an understanding that AI has learned from and been programmed by sinful man. And its programming is sinful. There was just a... What was it? Oh, I know. Somebody just went up and they asked AI if the election was stolen, if there was election fraud, and it said no. So that shows you right there, AI is lying to you. It's lying. This is what was programmed into it. Now, I want to go over to Matthew for a minute. Matthew chapter 19, in fact. And in Matthew 19, we read very quickly, just one verse, verse 26. But when Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. In other words, again, God has no limitations. AI's limitations are set by God himself. If we go over to Matthew 6, and in Matthew chapter 6, we read this in verse 8. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, God has complete and total control over the past, the present, and the future. Now, I know it's hard for to even try to begin to assimilate the very thought within our very limited capacity here of how God could turn time back. Time does not control God. You know, all of us, you know, every day we're harnessed by time. Time takes its toll on us. But you see, God controls time. Time is what God says it is. And God has the ability to go back into time, to turn time back. AI doesn't have that ability. God is fully aware of the past and the present and what the future will be. AI can't even come close to doing that. And it does not have an accurate record of the past. And so, God knows what AI is going to do. God knows what AI is going to, if you want to use the word think, the term think, before it does it. You see, that's one of the things. We have picnics often over here at the pavilion, and we use that word pavilion as kind of a place to have picnics at, and we do baptisms out there too because it's the rivers there. But actually the pavilion in the Bible is the war room. That's where the generals meet to discuss their battle plans, in the war room. And you know what? Satan, who is the god of AI, folks, when Satan meets with his generals in a war room, well, guess who's sitting in on the meeting? That's right, God's there. He's boy, it's really, really hard to plan your war, your strategy against your enemy when your enemy's sitting in the meeting. Not only that, which even makes it worse, where the enemy knows when the meeting's going to start, what's going to be said, and can completely can control the outcome of the meeting. Well, that would be kind of frustrating to be up against an enemy like that, but that's what Satan is up against. Now, Satan has only one hope of avoiding that eternal burning lake of fire. And that hope is if he can break Scripture, if he can break Scripture. But God says Scripture can't be broken. It can't be broken. He can't fail. And so, the Bible says that God has no equal. I'm going to have to stop here because we're running out of time. And again, God has no equal, none at all. His power has no boundaries. It transcends time. It transcends space and all other dimensions. Again, AI is limited to the boundaries that God has set for it. Now, here, as we read in Psalms 93, it's going to be fulfilled. God's word is going to be fulfilled. I'm going to get into that later because we have so much to do tonight. So, as we leave here, I want to thank you folks that have said the sinner's prayer on here and have let me know. And I'm going to do it again. I'm going to lead you in a sinner's prayer. And if you're out there apart from the Lord Jesus, if you are not saved, okay, there is nothing that you could ever do that will mean as much to you as receiving Christ as your Savior. And so, repeat after me. I would do it tonight because you may not have it tomorrow. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you. I come before you tonight as a sinner. According to that perfect holy word, I deserve hellfire. But Father God, you so loved the world that you placed your Son upon a cross. He took my sin. My sin was nailed to him upon that cross. He didn't have to do that. He could have said no, but he didn't. And so right now, Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Right now, Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, you took my place, a substitutionary death, and there's no way I could ever thank you enough, but I'm going to ask you, Lord, right now, to be the Lord of my life, all of my life, without any reservations, completely and totally. I want to give my entire life to you, Lord. Right now, I know I've become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. Right now, I know that I will be indwelt with a Holy Spirit because God will always honor the commitment. And he's the only one that can always, no matter what, God can always keep his word. He cannot be broken. I want to thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for now I'm a new creature. If you've said that prayer with me, I'd like to know if you would call 440-338-1367, 440-338-1367, and let me know that you said that prayer. We're coming up to the end of the program tonight now. We have about 30 seconds left. What do we have there? 30 seconds. All righty. Well, it's this time in the program that we get to every night where we say things like this. Good night, God bless, and always, 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 and I do mean always, keep fighting. Yeah. The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted.
Based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers.
And walk around the office.
On eggshells.
And have my words policed.
By HR.
Words like
grandfather.
Peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.